This is the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. This was recorded on Tuesday, March 26th, 2013. Today in the news, something from this last week. It's from ABC News. Medical Unit, CVS Pharmacy wants workers' health information or they'll pay a fine. This is by Steve Osunsami. A new policy by CVS Pharmacy requires every one of its nearly 200,000 employees who use its health plan to submit their weight, body fat, glucose levels, and other vitals or pay a monthly fine. Employees who agree to this testing will see no change in their health insurance rates, but those who refuse will have to pay an extra $50 per month or $600 per year for the company's health insurance program. All employees have until May 1st, 2014 to make an appointment with a doctor and record their vitals. The approach they're taking is based on the assumption that somehow these people need a whip. They need to be penalized in order to make themselves healthy, Patient Privacy Rights founder Dr. Deborah Peel said. Critics are calling the policy coercion and worrying that CVS or any other company might start firing sick workers. It's technology-enhanced discrimination on steroids, Peel said. The policy change was introduced to employees in a memo highlighting the change in the health insurance plan. CVS, which is based in Rhode Island, said the health screening was voluntary and the company would never see the test results. In an email to ABC News, CVS explained that its benefits program is evolving to help our colleagues take more responsibility for improving their health and managing health-associated costs. The goal of these kinds of programs is to end up with a healthier workforce. If your employees are healthy, they're going to work better and they're going to cost the employer a lot less money, ABC News Chief Health and Medical Editor Dr. Richard Besser said. CVS insists that the use of health screenings by employer-sponsored health plans is a common practice. A quick search of the internet shows many websites and message boards filled with questions from families asking if similar programs and policies are legal. Brad Seff, a former Broward County, Florida employee, learned the hard way that it is legal, according to one court. Seff sued the county in April 2011 after it charged him an extra $40 per month for health insurance after he refused health screenings. In the suit, Seff said the wellness program violated the Americans with Disabilities Act because the county was making medical inquiries of its employees. Seff lost his suit. "I'm so disgusted. I'm moved. I left the state," Seth told ABC News by phone. All right, and next in the news, ladies and gentlemen, this from the Levine Breaking News. Harry Belafonte recalls hotel racism. Harry Belafonte recalled the racism he suffered in the 1950s as a performer at Waldorf Astoria during a speech there at the Amy Winehouse Foundation Gala Thursday, saying it used to be one of the most racist pieces of real estate in America. Belafonte recounted being hired by Claude Philippe, who was trying to desegregate the hotel. "I went into the hotel, and executive realized that Belafonte wasn't, as they suspected, some Frenchman on the loose. They went ape deleted. The hotel fired Felipe and tried to cancel Belafonte's contract," he said, "but it was ironclad. I did all I could to encourage my friends from Harlem, from Bed-Stuy, to come. It was just a sea of black folk. Belafonte continued, explaining they placed him in the Starlight Roof to avoid racial contamination in the Empire Room. He ended with how far the Waldorf has come. I now have the lifetime right to stay in any Hilton hotel anywhere in the world for free if I would just keep my mouth shut and not tell this story. How about that? And now it's time for the Harper's Weekly Review. This dated March 26, 2013. For the first time since taking office, U.S. President Barack Obama visited Israel, where he assured President Shimon Peres of America's unwavering commitment to Israel's security and told Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, "It's good to get away from Congress." In a speech at the Jerusalem Convention Center, Obama urged Israelis to pressure their government into resuming peace talks with Palestine. "Palestinians have a right to be a free people in their own land," he said. "Put yourself in their shoes." Protesters in Gaza struck photographs of Obama with the soles of their shoes, and demonstrators near the Church of the Nativity in the West Bank held signs that read, "Gringo, return to your colony." Obama viewed the Dead Sea Scrolls in Israel, a Palestinian youth dance group in Ramallah, and the ancient city of Petra in Jordan. Iraqi newspaper Al-Mada ran a story headlined, "Obama visited the region but ignored Iraq." And Secretary of State John Kerry made a surprise trip to Baghdad, where he engaged a spirited discussion with Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki about the need for Iraq to block Iranian arms shipments to Syria. "Hillary Clinton told me that you're going to do everything that I say," Kerry quipped. "We won't do it," Malachi replied. The government of Lebanon collapsed. Israeli fired a missile at a Syrian army post, and Syrian opposition leader Moaz Khatib stepped down amid controversy over his coalition's appointment of an expatriate from Texas as prime minister of rebel-held regions. "Syria is now like a fallen calf," said the wife of a Damascus dentist. "All the butchers have gathered around, and they're sharpening their knives." Canadian yoga clothing company Lululemon recalled 17% of its women's bottoms because their fabric was sometimes too sheer. "The only way that you can actually test for the issue," said Chief Executive Christine Day, "is to put the pants on and bend over." Cyprus finalized a plan to raise $7.5 billion demanded by the European Central Bank in exchange for an emergency bailout of £10 billion, $13 billion from the bank, the International Monetary Fund, and the European Commission. As part of the deal, the country, a notorious tax haven and a suspected money laundering hub for Russian oligarchs, agreed to force holders of accounts containing more than £100,000 in deposits at the second largest Cypriot bank to accept losses of up to 40%. Billionaire Boris Borisovsky, whom Russian state media called an evil genius and the most odious oligarch of the 1990s, was found dead in his English mansion. Detroit's new emergency financial manager was found to owe $15,797.68 in unpaid taxes, and the head of Colorado's prison system was fatally shot in his home. A screaming pregnant woman with a stun gun concealed in her bra chased down a Seattle bike messenger and hit him in the face. Three Englishmen dressed as Oompa Loompas were charged with assaulting a diner at a Norwich kebab shop, and police were investigating the overnight disappearance of a bridge in the Golchuk district of western Turkey. "Now we have to take our socks off to cross the creek," said resident Mustafa Karakaz. A housekeeper in the West Point Military Academy was being tried in federal court for the theft of a bag of meatballs. A cereal lobster thief was apprehended in Duluth, and the state of Montana moved to legalize the consumption of roadkill. "It really is a sin," said State Senator Larry Gent, Democrat, "to waste a good meat." Obi, a morbidly obese dachshund from Puyallup, Oregon, regained his ability to run. A Cape Cod urology clinic was offering a free pizza with every vasectomy. Bill Gates pledged to award $100,000 to anyone who could invent a game-changing condom. Harry Reams, the male lead of the 1970s porn film Deep Throat, died at 65, and a drama professor at the University of Alberta was reportedly advising voice students to massage their throats with a vibrator. "What I'm trying to do," said David Lay, "is to help the person hit that high note." A truck crash in Whangarei, New Zealand, that spilled more than 3,000 gallons of glue left roads dangerously slippery, and a school in Canvey Island, England, banned triangular flapjacks. An American philanthropist bought the house across the street from the anti-gay Westboro Baptist Church and painted it to resemble a rainbow pride flag. The zip code, can you believe it, is 66604, he said. A French mother was awaiting a verdict in her trial for sending her 3-year-old son, Jihad, who was born on September 11th, to nursery school in a t-shirt that read, "I am a bomb." And a Vatican receptionist mistook a phone call from the new Pope for a prank. "I really am Pope Francis," said the Pope. "Oh yes," said the receptionist, "and I'm Napoleon." This article by Sarah Bressler. And now we've reached the end of the Kill Radio Weekly News. Ladies and gentlemen, like I always say, be good to each other, have a good week, and stay out of the news.